You are listening to Radio Reverb on 97.2 FM. This is the Brighton Business Show with myself, Helen Packham, and my co-host, Lisa Moore. The Brighton Business Show is available on DAB Digital Radio. You can listen again online or download as a podcast. And we are proud to be working in partnership with Friday Ad and Friday Media Group, who are supporting, promoting and inspiring local business. And today's show has got a bit of a theme to it, as we like to do themes on our shows. And we're really going to be exploring lockdown and the things that actually happened with businesses in lockdown. I have three fabulous guests for the show today. The first is Vicky Stephen, the founder of Water Babies. The second is Gemma Morris from Off the Wall Entertainment. And the third is Laura Barry, who actually works for Friday Media Group, but also founder of Workspee HRM platform. So, hey, Lisa, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, Helen. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. So I think it's a good topic to discuss, because I think any business owner in lockdown had experience or trouble or some type of shift in what they were doing. Now, I know that there are some people who really, really thrived in lockdown. And of course, that's amazing. But I think the thing that I've seen is whatever happens, it's taken conscious thought for people. There's been impact on businesses in some way, but it's been inspiring to see how people have pivoted or done something different despite the challenges they've faced. So I just kind of want to open the show with talking about that, really, in terms of what your experience was and what happened for you.
Oh, gosh, it was a really big change, because I remember the day, I think it was the day before Boris announced that was it, we were going to lock down. I'd sort of decided that my fitness studio, I wouldn't let people come, and that I would use the studio and I would Zoom from there. So I took everything down. I took my camera down, you know, laptop, everything, lighting, got it all set up. And then that night was the night that Boris announced the lockdown. And I remember driving down at sort of 9:30 at night thinking, oh my God, I'm going to get arrested. Taking everything home, and then having to sort of convert my lounge dining room into a fitness studio to be able to carry on delivering some of the service, or the majority of the service that I did to my clients. I went completely online with fitness, and then the other side of the business, you know, the Athena networking, that actually was probably easier. Because we just literally transitioned onto Zoom, and everybody could make their own lunch and their own cup of tea and things like that. So from a networking point of view, I think it was fairly easy to do it. The fitness side for me was much harder.
Mm. Yeah. How did people find that transition?
Do you know that they were really good about it? I think because part of my client base, not now, funnily enough, because they've sort of dropped off, but part of my client base were 60 plus, ladies over 60 plus. So they struggled a bit with the technology. Mm. And thank goodness I'd got quite a lot of experience of using Zoom. I did a lot of technical support with these people, ringing them on the phone and talking them through it and getting them to press the right buttons on their laptop. But you know what? Once they mastered it, they were great, absolutely great. And I think they were just so grateful that they could carry on.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, some sort of continuity of normality, albeit online. Yeah. So they had a motivation, you know, could continue with their fitness goals, that they were still motivated to continue. And let's face it, you know, in the lockdown situation, it was much needed, wasn't it? And of course, you've got the coaching side of your business as well, which I'd imagine was online anyway.
Yeah, the coaching side's always been pretty much online, but also I took the opportunity to sort of have that extra time that I was saving from not traveling so much to updating my qualifications. So I studied another life coaching certificate, have started NLP as well. So from that point of view, for me personally, it was really nice. I was able to grow, learn, and sort of be able to provide more to my clients. Mm. Yes, the same has happened for you, hasn't it, really? Because I know you've changed what you were doing slightly.
Yeah, well, 2020 was the year of face-to-face delivery for me. So that's at the beginning of the year, I set that goal. I'm going to do lots of live training and coaching and events and book loads of stuff in. It was all in the diary. And then literally it got swiped out a few days after lockdown. And so that did have a big impact because that's what I'd planned. That was the strategy. And then all of a sudden my kids are at home with me and I haven't got any headspace to even think. Mm-hmm. And we've got to homeschool them and all the things that we had to do. And it really did have an impact on my mentality and my confidence and all of those sorts of things. I think somewhere along the line, I had a talk with myself and came up with, you know, a different plan. And that was to come up with a different angle for my corporate work. So yeah. I looked at, you know, online communication. So my thing is all around communication, influence, presentations, talks, all of that sort of stuff. And I started reaching out to organizations with articles around how to improve virtual communication using storytelling. And I started to land some workshops helping people to do that, which was really great. And then I decided, well, I haven't got any time to actually coach people one-to-one because I'm with my kids. So I put together two online courses, passive courses, yeah, around how to be a virtual trainer and how to be a virtual speaker. And the thing is, I didn't launch them properly at the time because I just wasn't thinking in the right headspace. But now what's happened is those are actual assets. So I'm using them alongside the one-to-one intensives I'm doing now and the coaching programs I'm doing now. As a bonus for those, which people are finding really, really useful. But I think and then obviously things have really picked up again, which is amazing. And I'm doing what I was doing before, albeit all online now. Mm. Although I really, really want to do a face-to-face event. I'm itching to do a face-to-face event. But I think, you know, from talking to lots of people, the mindset aspect of it, you know, you can either let it really just stop you in your tracks, or you can do something different. And I think as a business owner, there is no choice apart from, you know, if you cannot physically do anything. Well, we think about the hospitality industry, for example.
Yeah,
you know, they had to all close down, but then they started thinking about doing online takeaways and selling restaurant kits. And seeing how innovative people have been has been truly amazing.
It's been really amazing to see people coming up with all these different ideas, and it's lovely to see all these different opportunities. And you know, the local pubs now, rather than just going back to being a local pub, they're still doing their takeaways, or they've got their little coffee van outside. It's been really nice to see. I guess, you know, as human beings, when we're faced with challenges, that's when we really shine, isn't it?
It is. We adapt.
Yeah, we adapt and we go, right, okay, so we can't do it that way. We're going to do it this way. And in some ways, I think I enjoyed 2020 because of that, actually forcing your hand to do something differently. And it definitely made me look at how I helped my clients. In a different way, you know, it wasn't just about the exercise, and the coaching has really come into its own. And I think I'm seeing more and more people now wanting that help with their confidence, their motivation, their health. It's all wrapped up in that, you know, life is much more precious than before. And they want to get that balance between their, you know, their careers and their home life, their relationships, their health, their fitness and all of that stuff.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, as we say, out of darkness and challenge can come really good things, which is why I'm really interested to talk to our first guest today, because it'd be really, really interesting to hear what's happened with her. So Vicky Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks so much for coming on. Now, Vicky, so we've just been talking about how people, you know, people were able to be creative and think differently. So you are the founder of run Water Babies.
Yep. So I started Water Babies Brighton and Mid-Sussex 9.5 years ago, and it's a franchise company. Yeah. We teach baby swimming, so we can't do that online.
Yeah, let's talk about that first before we talk about, you know, what led you to that point. So, you know, as I say, some businesses, there just wasn't anything that was able to be done. There was no way of doing things differently, which must have been incredibly frustrating. Tell us about that time period really, and what happened.
So we actually, as a business, as a franchise company, made the decision to close our pools on, I think it was the previous Tuesday, when Boris announced that non-essential travel, he was suggesting no. And although we teach a life-saving skill, and it is, you know, vital to a lot of parents' mental health and bonding, we felt we were not justified in continuing to run those lessons. We had a duty of care to our clients and our teachers as well. So we stopped our classes then, prior to the announcement on the Monday about lockdown. And at that time, it was pretty dark. At that time, we employed 11 people. I can remember pretty much crying on the school run the following day about, you know, all my hard work, set my business up. It was all for nothing. It was all gonna go down the toilet. And what did I have to show for 9 years' work? And it was pretty dark. And then you go into survivor mode. And our head office team were fantastic. We were having daily conference calls, and the furlough scheme got announced, and we were like, brilliant. Our staff looked after, and that was my whole goal, was to get my team through it. We employ a lot of mums because it's very flexible working around family. So it was really important to me to continue that for them. And then it became about touch points with the clients. You know, what could we do to still support them? We might not be able to run lessons, but we had teachers in the gardens, you know, recording stuff in the paddling pools, things that they could practice at home in the bath, just to try and sort of say, we're still here for you. We had one of the office team came in for a few days to just phone through some of our new starting mums that are really new in their journey of parenthood, and just check in on them, make sure they were okay.
I think that's such an important thing to talk about, because it's not just a business, it's a community, isn't it? It's a community of people that you've built that, you know, you care about your customers, and you care about the journey that they're on. And so keeping in touch with them in that way must have been, how did you do that? Was that via email, social media?
So we have a parents group on Facebook. So we posted lots of videos and content there. As I say, one of my colleagues came in and did some phone calls. We did emails out. I recorded messages to them. And it was just doing what we could around, obviously, homeschooling our own children as well at that time.
And what else happened? Because I know there's a few other things happened along the way in lockdown for you.
Yeah, so sadly, our CEO was taken into hospital on the 1st of April with COVID, and he passed away on the 30th of April, so that really blocked us. And I think that's when you come together as a company, as a family, because we are a series of small businesses, and we all, you know, came together to support each other and make sure we're in contact, and really, you know, make that plan to drive forward, to come through this for Steve and make sure we got back on our feet. You know, there was always a plan between our founder and our CEO of, right, we're going to get everyone through this. And so we owed it to Steve to make sure we came through. But we did so safely. And it was so important that the safety of our swimmers, of our tiny babies, of our parents, and of our team were at the forefront of any business decisions we made.
Mm. Oh gosh, I'm so sorry to hear that. That must have been absolutely devastating for you. But as you say, to pull together in that time and do it for him, and keep driving forward for him, I guess must have been as you said, like, as you are a family, to keep moving forward towards the goals you did. And you had to put things in storage.
Yeah, so obviously all of the team were furloughed. I'm a limited company director, so I was, if I got furlough, I couldn't work. If I worked, I couldn't get furlough. So after about 4 weeks, I said to my husband, this office is not going to reopen anytime soon. So we emptied the office. Literally, I packed everything myself, an entire office.
Wow.
He drove a van up to a storage unit. We unpacked it all. And you know, just got our business ready to save the pennies where we could to ensure we survived and came through. So that was pretty tough going, you know, in amongst family illness and homeschooling, but we got through it. And then we got the blow of being one of the last industries to open up. So we'd been geared up, you know, thinking May, we're going to open in May, we'd planned for that. Surely we're safe, we've got chlorine in the water, we're basically swimming in bleach, you know, we are your weekly cleaning session. So yeah, to get the shock of we were opening up in July was hard going, really hard going, and pretty soul destroying actually. And number of parents phoning us up going, I don't understand how I can do these other things, but I can't come to a swimming lesson.
Yeah, of course. I can imagine that must have been incredibly frustrating for you.
Yeah.
So that was the summer, and then obviously we went into another summer.
Well, we opened our classes for a time. So we swam all summer. We always stop in August, but we swam through. And we swam through September, and we had pools opening back up, and we were going great guns, albeit with much smaller classes and much different style lessons. And then November lockdown came. And that was when I went, I'm going stir crazy. So we built a log cabin in the garden to house the office. And that was my little lockdown project there. And I joined a company called Temple Spa and did some Zoom spa parties with people, sending out little packet kits and getting groups together from around the country. And doing spa parties with them. And that was amazing to really, you know, see the social interaction and be able to bring people together wherever they were and have some little me time. It wasn't work. It was really enjoyable.
Yeah.
And kept me sane.
I had some friends actually, Vicky, that did some Temple Spa. They might even have done it with you actually. And they were telling me how wonderful it was. It was so nice to just use all the products and...
Yeah. Yeah, to just get a little package through the post.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. It was lovely. It was really good. And it kept a few pennies coming in for me. But yeah, one thing all of us as teachers in Water Babies love about our lives is the social interaction, the seeing so many parents and being part of their life and part of their journey and watching their child grow up. So to try and fill a bit of an emotional need for me to be around people was really important.
Yeah, and I absolutely love Temple Spa products as well.
Oh, fabulous.
They are gorgeous. And every single product I've ever used has always been really, really good quality. And
it's exceptional quality. Yeah, they use it at Wickwards and Ockenden Manor. And they're very local. They're actually in Littlehampton.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. So how is that? So then obviously, yeah, then so when they went into the third lockdown.
The third time lucky.
The worst one.
It was hell.
So did you continue your spa teas?
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, that was big for us. And then we were one of the first industries to open with this lockdown. So we've been back in the water in classes since April. So I've kind of slowed down a bit of the Temple Spa stuff while I've ramped up the Water Baby stuff. But it's a really nice hybrid. It's a change is as good as a rest.
Yeah, so I was going to say, how does that look for you now? Is that's something that you, because of the enjoyment that you get from that, something that you're going to continue?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. They're beautiful products. I genuinely love them. And I'm rubbish telling anyone about something I don't believe in. So really love them. And it just a different way of communicating and being around people. And it's nice. It's a good hobby.
That's fantastic. And again, just such a great example of, you know, with such adversity that you have faced, both personally, emotionally, for your company and your family as a company, and the starkness of not being able to open really had such an impact. But you built a log cabin, started something new, you didn't let it beat you down, which is just so inspiring. It's so inspiring to hear these stories. So you've been swimming again since April. So how does it look now in this kind of emerging post-lockdown world? How is Water Babies now? What's happening?
So currently we only have one parent along to lessons. We can't have any spectators. So it used to be very much a family activity, and you might have mum or dad on the side watching, taking photos. We can't do that. We have to make sure that we limit the footfall through a building. A lot of our pools are hydrotherapy pools. So they are in special needs schools with vulnerable users. So we're very mindful of the impact of us being there on their users as well. So we only have one person swimming. They have their own bag of toys that they sterilise at the start of lesson by holding it underwater for 30 seconds. Water Babies actually co-sponsored a study into the efficacy of chlorine against COVID with Imperial College and the RLSS. So we know our stuff, we know that it's safe. Our teachers are no longer in the water, they're on poolside, and they're either using a microphone to project their voice, or they're wearing a spit guard. Looks like a little clear shield. You can't drink your gin through it, but it's a clear shield, and it just prevents any droplets when we're projecting our voices from poolside. And we've limited class numbers, so it has become incredibly tight. In some of our venues, we've gone from having 6 in a class to 4 in a class. So financially, that is a big difference to us as a business.
Of course. And have you found that the clients that were with you have continued?
Yeah, our client loyalty has been incredible. We've had such wonderful messages from all of our parents, and the children have been an absolute joy. They've been squealing with delight, you know, after every lockdown, the first lesson back. They just, you know, if the pool goes down, they cry. You know, if we get there and the pool's broken, they just cry, because it's such a lovely activity. It's so much fun. They learn through play, and it's got mum or dad in the water with them. It's not a lesson, it's more fun. So we've been blown away by the customer support and the loyalty they've shown and the patience they've shown. And equally, we've been lucky enough to have new swimmers come join us as well. Babies born through lockdown, they're slowly emerging. We've had to adapt some of our teaching practices to deal with the fact that a lot of our beginners are older when they join us by necessity. They haven't had that chance. So you just have to adapt some of the skills and how you do them to support their needs.
In terms of if it does happen, restrictions ending, you know, if that happens, whenever that may happen, what would that look like then for you?
So we're starting to plan as to what that might look like, based on the information that's coming out, that there might be a dropping of the social distancing, there might be a dropping of masks. Our goal is to have our teachers back in the water, because we can see as teachers that a child is capable, but maybe mum or dad doesn't know how to coax that out of them. So being able to be hands-on with a baby in the water, demonstrating a skill, is really key to that child's progression, and also the understanding of the other swimmers. There's only so much you can do teaching a doll on poolside, so actually being able to demonstrate and support very nervous parents by being close to them and there as an extra pair of hands if they need it. So if we can get back in the water and make sure our clients are happy with us back in the water, that is key for us. There are some practices that we have adopted for COVID controls that actually have worked really well. So things like they've had a drawstring bag of their own toys. We may choose to keep that. We need to really look at the information, but if we can increase some of the class numbers in some pools, that really will be key to little ones' enjoyments, because it's a sociable skill. They want to learn through each other as well. And also for the business sustainability.
Yeah, that's really, really great to hear. And again, fingers crossed that we can get back to that, because of how important it is. It's inspiring to hear, isn't it?
It really is. And you know, teaching children to swim is such an important thing to do. And as Vicky said, you know, I remember, I think my eldest was 6 weeks old when I took her swimming. And I'm so glad I did, because she's never had any fear of water. And I'm sure that there are babies out there, like Vicky said, that have grown up and are older. It's going to take them a little bit more time to get comfortable in the water. So it's just such an important thing for children to do.
Yeah.
And adults alike, you know, it's such an important skill to have, to know how to swim.
It is, because you love a sea swim, don't you, Lise?
I love a sea swim. In fact, I'm hopefully going down in a few hours.
Lovely. So Vicky, if people want to find out more about water babies and how they can sign up to classes, what can they do?
So they can either give us a call or they can visit our website, put in their postcode and it will show them all of their local calls, or they can visit our Facebook page. But we have so many different swimmers that come to us, people that are terrified of water, which is how I started off as a client with water babies. So we're there to support those that are really nervous, but equally those that their child needs their PADI certificate by the age of 8 because they love water and they're around water every day. So we can adapt our teaching methods for everyone. And we're a very inclusive swim school as well. So if your child does have any developmental needs, our key is to encourage them to participate in those lessons and support you in terms of adapting things for them.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Vicky. It's really, really great to hear your story and what's happened and how you've diversified and you're continuing to do that. It's really, really inspiring. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me.
You are listening to Helen Packham and Lisa Moore for the Brighton Business Show, 97.2 FM, available to listen on DAB, online and as a podcast, in conjunction and partnership with Friday Ad and Media Group, who are all about promoting local businesses. And my next guest today is also someone who has been able to use lockdown as an experience to either pivot or emerge and do new things and see it, I guess, in a positive light. And that guest is Gemma Morris, who is Company Director of Off the Wall Entertainment. Hey Gemma, thanks so much for joining us on the Brighton Business Show today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Gemma, when I was looking up about your business, it was really, really interesting to see what you do and what you're doing now. But it would be really great for the people listening to hear, I guess, a bit of the story behind how you came to do this and what you actually do.
Okay, so we actually started our business on the back of our own wedding. We were looking for local event suppliers that could supply the smaller scale events, so a smaller marquee, smaller sound system, and we couldn't find anyone, basically. So for our own wedding, we actually purchased 2 marquees and we held on to them. And we sort of thought, actually, we've hit on something here, because there are a lot of companies that will hire you a marquee for 200 or 300 people, but not so many that will put one up in the garden for a family party. So it sort of went from there, really.
Right. Okay. That's brilliant. So you held on to these marquees, and then I guess what the seeds of the business were born in terms of that being a concept for enabling people to have smaller events.
I mean, my husband, he's the other company director, he's a touring lighting technician and of the communications manager at the Green Man Festival. So we've both got a background in events, background in the arts. We met at drama school, so this has been our world, and we always thought that there was a way kind of to put our heads together, and Off the Wall was it, really.
And why Off the Wall?
Just because I don't like to kind of go with the crowd. So, yeah, I think some of my ideas are a bit off the wall and it sort of fitted, really.
Tell us about some of those.
I like running my own company because I like making decisions about what I want the business to do and we've sort of been able to kind of diversify as we go, particularly over lockdown. But I think as a company director, having the freedom to take the business that you want to go in is really great.
Mm. So how did that start to emerge then once you had that idea? What did you start to do?
So we started with sort of family parties, quite a few of those. I did children's parties for a while. In a previous life, I worked in special needs schools. So putting the entertainment kit in the children's party was sort of a start, really. As it's grown, we're picking up more and more bigger events. We've sort of gone into conferences, done some sort of theatre shows for people, and then the kind of bigger hires, bigger weddings, bigger family parties.
And how does it work in terms of what's provided? Is it a kind of one-stop shop, or how does that work?
So we can do one-stop shop. We've got marquees, sound systems. I've just got a silent disco.
Because
we found quite a lot of venues have put their noise curfew quite a bit earlier, and actually flipping over to a silent disco at 10 o'clock is quite good. People can party for a bit longer.
Brilliant. Carry on.
Okay. I think quite a lot of what we end up doing is sort of signposting people. So lots of our weddings, they're kind of people that want to DIY, but they need a little bit of help, a little bit of support. What generator do I need? How much cable should I have? You know, that kind of thing. So we provide marquees, structures, bits and pieces, but often I'll end up with a sort of production management kind of role, pointing people in the right direction.
What, so things like the catering and the entertainment?
Yeah, we've sort of been around quite a lot of weddings, so you can recommend things, and I think more and more people are sort of trying to plan the weddings from scratch, you know, in a garden, or they want to rent a field, and then you're looking at generators and power, and I think people just need a little bit of help with that kind of thing. So
So you kind of can act as like a project manager for that particular event, as well as supplying the things.
Yes,
that
yeah,
to make it happen.
Yeah, and sometimes agony aunt as well, particularly with all the reschedules for the weddings that we've been doing. I'm more therapist than supplier at the moment.
I can imagine you are. So tell us about that, because obviously this show really is focusing on what's happened to businesses as a result of lockdown. And of course, there's so many businesses out there. My business, a lot of my business last year was focused on in-person events and training. And that was all cancelled in March. And so I had to kind of, you know, really readjust and look at things differently. So what happened with you guys when lockdown hit last year?
So it's a bit of a story, really. When lockdown hit, our diary emptied. It was in seconds. My phone was pinging, emails. It all went. And I actually stood in our unit looking at all of our equipment in floods of tears, working out what of it I was going to sell to pay our mortgage. It was pretty horrible. And then I suddenly thought, you're an idiot, because if you sell all the equipment, how are you going to run events when you reopen? So we sort of had a look and we thought, right, what have we got? How can we use it in a different way? So we have Bell Tents. They normally go out with, we have a sister company, which is Wedding Crasher Kids, which is kids chill out areas and entertainment for weddings. So the Bell Tents normally are that. But we thought, actually, you know, lockdown, people are still going to have birthdays and anniversaries, and they're going to want a bit of fun. So we decided that, because quite a lot of people were doing sort of have a hotel room in a bell tent kind of styling, we thought we won't go down that road. So we used our lighting equipment and we did Stay Home Festival 2020. So it was a bell tent with some lights, and we put a box of festival dressing up in each tent. And it was really fun.
That is brilliant. So, like, I just want to like talk about this how these ideas emerged. Obviously, you explained that quite stark situation. Sorry, the postman's pushing things through my door. I do apologise, listeners of the radio. That you stood there in that situation in tears, thinking, what the hell am I going to do? And, you know, I've spoken to quite a lot of people and I'm quite inspired seeing how businesses have just pulled these ideas together. Like, I still think, you know, what Tully's Farm, if you don't know about Tully's Farm, what they did in terms of their drive-through cinemas and turning their farm experience into a grocery drive-in and things like that. How did these ideas come to you? Were they like moments of inspiration in the shower, or was it just sitting down and being like, right, we need to strategize on this. What can we do differently?
I think it was a bit of both. It was, you know what, the bell tents are the kit that actually could transfer quite easily to the garden. How can we market ours in a way that is different to what's already available? Because lots of lovely companies do the styled setups in the bell tent. And that's not really us. So it, and there was a bit of a shower moment of festival in the garden.
So is that how you promoted a package to people, through your website, through social media? How did that work?
Lots of it came off of social media, Instagram, Facebook, particularly big for us. And once people started hiring it, they were then sharing their customer photos and everyone was going, oh, that looks like fun. Yeah, let's do it.
So essentially it's a tent with some dressing up and some lights. And any type of sound, or is that, or were people providing that themselves?
So we had, we were doing an add-on pack last year for our silent disco. You could add that onto the tent. Halfway through the summer, we added a bell tent cinema as well. And by the end of the summer, we had two bell tent cinemas because people went a bit mad for it. So
that is fantastic. So if we can talk about, I guess, you know, the potential. So you had all of this stuff cancelled, so a complete revenue cut. And were you able to, obviously doing this pivot, to regain that lost revenue in some way, in terms of how the demand, obviously this different type of demand, was increased over the summer?
It was, yeah. I mean, financially, obviously, we took a huge hit. Everybody did, but we were able to keep going. And I think that what was a benefit for us was that our customers appreciated that we kept going, and that we thought of ideas that they could still have a birthday party or an anniversary party.
That's such a good point. When you think about this, you know, we didn't want lockdown to happen, right? And we still wanted ways of being able to do these things in meaningful ways that didn't involve going out to places. Mm. And so to be able to provide something special for these moments, which are even more precious now, right? These family moments, these special moments, to be able to make that even more special, I think, is, you know, I can totally get why your client base, your customers, really appreciated that you did that.
They did, yeah. And we're really lucky. We have really, really loyal customers. And I was very frank and I was very open and I poured my heart out on social media several times about, you know, what was going on behind the scenes. We're both company directors, so we didn't receive any government support.
No.
And I was very honest with our customers, and I think they appreciated that, actually.
Yeah, no, I think that was being open, being honest, showing vulnerability is being real. And it's not, you know, obviously on social media, the highlight reel is always about what's going well, what's going brilliantly in people's lives. But it's also a great opportunity to be real. And I'm sure that connected you with people even more.
I think it did, yeah.
So now that, obviously now, so by the end of the summer, you had a second bell tent, you had a second cinema. What's kind of happened since then? Because since then we went into like a third lockdown, which was, in my mind, it was probably the worst so far in terms of like January to March this year. It was winter. What happened then? And I guess how has this disruption or this change in the world affected how you're doing things now?
What's interesting is we were worried about the winter, you know. Obviously, I think lots of entertainment companies were. We'd been asked about live streaming several times. So at the end of the summer, we bought a broadcast video camera. And lots, we've been live streaming church services. So, yeah, our local church, we go in and we record 4 or 5 church services in a row, and then we edit them, and then they go out on a Sunday morning. The viewership, they're finding they're getting nearly 1,000 viewers a week for these services. So
incredible. And that's, so that's pre-recorded, that's not even live.
No, so we the Christmas services, we're looking at doing them live, but we sort of got a format. It's kind of like mini songs of praise, and they sort of try and get different readers. We've got the children's choir, and they've been really positive for the church, actually. Not anything I thought we'd end up doing, but
that's incredible. Did that just come to you, that query?
Well, I think entertainments, lighting and video are starting to go hand in hand, and it's always been on our radar. But actually what we're getting on now is people who are looking for hybrid events. So they're running a conference and they want their keynote speakers in the room, but they want to stream it out to others at home. And that's now coming our way. And we sort of took a bit of a risk behind the video camera. It was a big purchase, but it's paid off.
That's fantastic. It's another, it's like a bold move, isn't it? It's about thinking about these risks and the potential outcome. You don't know which way it's going to go, but taking that risk in the first place can really pay off. So it's another like a string to your bow.
Yeah, it's sort of that's, I think, not going to be winter. We've done a few promotional videos for small businesses as well, and I think that's our that's our winter project.
That's fantastic. So what about now? So we're now in July. Oh, nearly in July. Can you believe it? The half the year has gone already. And where is the business now? I guess it's a hybrid for you, I guess, of all these different things that you're offering.
Yeah, what's been interesting this year is that we've got people who had a little bell tent last year who want a marquee this year. They've come back, and they've come back for bigger. So actually, in terms of our client base, we've increased our reach, we've increased our catchment area, and it's good. Yeah, we did our first wedding back on Saturday. I was so thrilled.
How was it?
It was lovely. Yeah, we put 540 meters of fairy lights in the roof of Lawton Barnes wedding venue.
Oh wow.
And it looked lovely.
How incredible is that? So I can't remember the restrictions on weddings now, has it? It has been increased.
It has. It depends on the venue. Yes. Now.
Okay. Yeah.
But we were just doing the lights with 540 meters of fairy lights.
What a joyous day that must have been.
It was lovely, yeah. I didn't mind going up and down on the ladder so many times because it was good to be back.
Honestly, it's so good to hear. It's inspiring because, you know, none of these results just happened for you. I think that's the really important thing. You didn't give up. You didn't stop. You didn't sell your equipment. You chose to really think, okay, well, what do people need? And those people did need what you could offer. And as a result, now you've got all of these different things that you can offer in the summer and the winter, which has really enabled your business to thrive in ways that who knew that you would be doing church services? I mean, that's incredible. It's honestly, it warms my heart to hear. Thank you so much for sharing, Gemma. So if people want to know more about your business and maybe if they want to book you or hire you for one of their events, how can they find out more about you?
So our website is www.offthewallentertainment.co.uk. I'm on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, so they can send me a DM or get us on the website.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank
you. Good luck with everything that's coming next. You're listening to Radio Reverb. This is the Brighton Business Show with Helen Packham and Lisa Moore on 97.2 FM on your DAB online, or you can also listen as a podcast. And we're working in partnership with the Friday Ad and Friday Media Group. We're all about promoting local business. And Gemma, I believe, has written a blog for Friday Ad. And my next guest also has a fantastic connection with Friday Ad, as I'd like to introduce Laura Barry, who is publications manager for Friday Ed and project manager for Workspeed, which is a platform that we're going to be talking about today. Hey, Laura, thanks so much for coming on the Brighton Business Show.
Hi, Helen. Thank you for having me.
So, Laura, as again, we're talking about this subject about things that have emerged from lockdown. But before we do that, it would just be really great to hear a little bit of background about you and your work within Friday Ad and kind of the story behind what we're going to talk about in a minute.
Sure. Okay. Well, as you say, I work for Friday Ad, so I manage the print publications for the company. But Friday Ad, although it started as Friday Ad, has now developed into a media group called Friday Media Group. So, you know, we've got 200 staff based all around the world with lots of different brands, and we've developed and brought different brands to the market, such as Aviation Job Search. So we've got a very varied business. And from my perspective, I was the publications manager. And when we went into the work from home, you know, we all got dispersed, sent home. And I'd say one of my best qualities was really working with people and motivating people and being really enthusiastic and energetic. And that was one of my best qualities. And of course, then you're locked in a room, you feel very alone and quite disconnected and not really motivated. You know, I really work well around big groups of people. So yeah, I think a lot of people will relate to that. And it was really hard to sort of stay connected within the company. So we tried different things and different platforms for collaborating and working on different things. And there wasn't something that could give us everything. So we developed our own, which was Workspeed HRM. And that's where it all started through the first lockdown.
So let's talk about that a bit more, because a lot of businesses I speak to, I work with a lot of corporate businesses, large corporate businesses as well, who when this situation suddenly arose, you had to, you know, firefight and re-strategize and think, okay, we've got to work from home. We don't know how that's going to be. Let's just see what we can do. So I know a lot of people felt isolated, and also, you know, because of Teams and or Zoom or whatever platform they were using, there was a lot of fatigue and burnout and lack of productivity. So you being someone that's really motivating and connects people, I'd imagine was a huge asset in that time. Was it hard for you working at home?
Oh, really hard at first. I definitely felt the burnout. You know, you felt a lot of pressure to be constantly working and doing more than was required, just because you felt like you put a lot of pressure on yourself to be so productive because you were away from the office and there was no one that were, you know, your manager wasn't physically seeing the work you were doing. So you felt like you needed to overcompensate in different areas and take on as much as possible. And, you know, as I said, I work with a print publications. We then had our own challenges with that in regards to people being out and being able to pick up the Friday Ad paper. So we had to adapt quickly. And luckily, just in time, we got the Friday Ad papers online for our readers. So, yeah, there was, you know, to be shut off from all of your work peers and work family, I see it. I've been with the company 14 years now. So what I call my first grown-up job, and I'm still here. And to be separated from all of that, especially as a people person, was quite a dark time last year, as I'm sure a lot of people can relate. And we had different platforms. You know, we'd have our Zoom meetings, we'd work through different collaboration tools, and everything was just really disjointed. There was one app for something, one app for something else, and you'd miss something on that app. And so, yeah, when I got brought in with the discussions of Workspeed HRM and where we could potentially build our own software that could support all different types of a business, I jumped onto that. Obviously, it was exciting. And just give feedback from someone who manages a team and really benefits from being around people. I really wanted to help build something, a HRM software that was going to be sustainable no matter what the circumstances. As you know, it started with unprecedented times and now it's called the new normal. We really don't know what's around the corner. So I really wanted something that could work well as part of an everyday office when you're in the office. But if something were to come up, it works well. If you are suddenly put back to work from home, we need something consistent.
So how did you go about approaching how to do that, how to develop a software or a platform that enables you to do that? Did you already have knowledge of that?
Well, not personally in regards to the technical side of things. We've got a fantastic team, the tech team. I work closely with someone called Sammy, and I would say we really need this. You know, although I work in print publications, I did a lot of investigating different sectors. So, for example, education, I've got two daughters in secondary school, and from a personal perspective and from friends who are teachers, you know, it was happening everywhere. Everyone felt disconnected and there wasn't the consistency in the communications coming through. And so I would speak to different businesses, look at different ways they were working through lockdown, and feed a sort of wish list back to our development team, who are fantastic, and just put my ideas really onto the software. And, you know, there's funny instances where I would create a Google spreadsheet, and I'd say, this is really complicated stuff now, guys, you know, these are my ideas. And they'd look at it and they'd sort of chuckle and go, this is fine, we understand it. I felt, you know, sometimes I felt like I was in the Matrix, but I just would work with the ideas and experiences that I would get off the people around me, you know, friends that I've got in different sectors. And we built what I see as the perfect tool for HRM.
So tell us about what the tool is, what it looks like. If you kind of like visually, like, I know we can't see anything because this is the radio, but what would that look like to someone using it?
Sure. Okay. Well, with HRM software now, you know, it's your standard, you book your holidays through it and request different leave. It's got your employment information on there. And when you log into the Workspeed HRM dashboard, all that's available. It's set out in really easy to navigate tiles, and you've got information on there that is your basic stuff, like I said, your employment information. But where we've gone the extra mile is things like we have birthday notifications. So if it's anyone's birthday in the business, it will pop up, and little simple things like that meant so much to me as a manager. When I'd sit there in the office and someone would say happy birthday and be like, oh no, I've got to go and get a cake and pretend I had it the whole time. So little things like that. But also in regards to education, you know, the more I looked into that, they have to fill in a workforce census every year, every school, for the Department of Education. And the extent of the information they have to provide on this one day every year, I wanted to develop our education side of things to be able to support the census and gather information for them. So everything I've done just proves how dynamic this software is and how we can just build it bespoke to suit every business needs. So, and we also were really keen to make sure that everyone's got everything they need in one place. So you would have all of your basic admin needs. Then we've added the dynamic reporting. We've got a recruitment dashboard, which is so helpful for different sectors that, you know, are constantly recruiting. Then we've got an email marketing tool in there for businesses to be able to market their businesses through that. And as well as that, we've got the reporting for this workforce census as well. So that really helps the school side of things. But mostly my favourite thing about it, apart from the admin side of things, is we've got a sort of social media platform available on this. So we've got a newsfeed option where people can just really re-engage with the business. And you, it's like many other platform, social platforms, where you can post news and you can really just celebrate and support your colleagues, which was hugely important to us. And just takes us back to what our company culture is all about, because we're, you know, we're so integrated in each other's projects, and we really support and motivate each other. So that gives us that platform. It's what I call a virtual staff room now, you know. If everything else is taken away, you can still support each other and recognize everyone's achievements through that.
That's fantastic, because when you were talking about all those different elements, I was thinking, what about communication? And that's obviously such an essential part of it. But to have your own social media feed, as it were, is there, are there, how does that work? Is there just one feed, or are there different groups or threads, or how does it work in terms of how people can communicate? Are there like thread boards for different topics?
Yes. Yeah, so yeah, that's also a really dynamic part of it. So the newsfeed is actually a widget. Once you click onto that, you can be have the general news feed for the company, and then you can also create groups, so it can be really specific to certain projects or certain departments through the group, so it's a more concentrated conversation in there. Or you can create threads and forums in there as well. We have articles where you can post a sort of a knowledge forum in there, where you can post different articles, whether that's, you know, personal well-being for different side of things, or company policy handouts. And then we've also got the album function, because I'm sure everyone used to, well, more so now, going on staff nights out and different projects you're working on and open days, collecting photos and things like that, because at the end of the day, who I work with are another family to me. So it just, it's lovely to have all those photos on this news feed and be able to see what's happening when you can't be there in person.
That's fantastic. What an amazing thing to emerge from this period of time. So what's next for this? So obviously you're using this as an internal platform within Friday, for Friday Media Group. So that's, yeah, that's something that you're using as a system for your employees and your managers within the company. What else is happening with it?
So with Wixby, obviously, like you say, we were working with it ourselves and really just enjoying it ourselves. Yeah. But the more we've developed it, we're in the middle of doing the launch for Wixby HRM for other businesses across the world now. So we're actually going to be hosting a virtual event now in September, where we've got different types of businesses that can support businesses through the new normal. So just, we've got different types of, you know, where you could have staff events virtually,
cool,
things like that for that side of things. We've got online training providers that will be coming to talk about different options for that. We've got HRM system ourselves where we could support businesses. So it's just maintaining that consistency for businesses through this new normal and giving people different ideas to make sure their staff stay productive and that they're engaged in the company. So Wixby HRM will really be revealed during that online expedition.
And when's that happening?
That's happening in September.
September, okay. Yeah, so if anybody's listening now and they might be a small business or a large business and they're thinking, gosh, I really need something like this to bring together my employees, to help my managers, to have everything in one place, how can they find out more or have a discussion around that?
Sure. So I personally offer tours of the software myself. So you can book them at our website, which is www.wixbyhrm.com. And there's lots of information on there about all the different features. There are so many to name. So you can have a look around on the website. But also there's the option then to book a tour. And I would take you through the software through a video call or in person if that's available then to you as well.
Fantastic. I think, you know, having listened to everyone today, I think, again, I'm feeling inspired. And I just think, even though that these things happen and we don't know what's around the corner, as you say, and we never do, and we're going to be tentative about that because of what we've experienced, but there is so many good things that can come from a forced period of isolation when we're forced to do different things. We're human beings are so incredibly able to adapt, and I think we can prove that here today by all of the things that you've spoken about. And I really want to thank you for coming on, Laura, and Gemma and Vicky, because it's really great for me to hear personally. I was a business owner who has also had to adapt in lockdown. And for anybody else listening to the Brighton Business Show, that we can find light in the dark times, and we are so equipped to adapt as human beings. But it does take conscious thought, and it does take acceptance of change, and allowing yourself to think creatively. So thank you so much, Laura, for your time. Thank you, everybody, for coming on the Brighton Business Show today, 97.2 FM, available to listen on DAB online or to download as a podcast. And we are working in partnership with Friday Ad and Friday Media Group, all about promoting local business.